like to ask you, if you would, if you'd turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Now, we're told in the book of Luke about a point where Jesus went, and he went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he stood up, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he unrolled it to this spot. And he read this scripture, and then he sat down, and he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled among you." So let's take a look at the scripture. Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from the captives, release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, and to bestow on them the crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor." And then down to verse 8. "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. And in my faithfulness I will reward them, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. And their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. And all who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed." Let's ask the Lord to bless us in this message this morning. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your scripture that has been passed down to us for so many years and has been a blessing and guidance to godly people down throughout the years. And I think, Heavenly Father, of how much good has come to this world because we have your word. We think, Heavenly Father, of priests and kings, of fathers and mothers, of teachers, who've quieted themselves and have opened your word and have read with an open heart. And Lord, they've found wisdom. And as we think down throughout the years, all the good deeds that have come from it, all the great works, all the inspiration, all the goodness. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would inspire our hearts this day. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would move us to do acts of faithfulness done your way. Thank you, Father, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, here you find a scripture written to the people of God at a very tough time. The people in the southern kingdom of Judah have suffered and suffered greatly, and there was much that they could be afraid of, and they could have just stayed paralyzed, living in fear. And the truth is that sometimes people face situations that hit them so hard that they don't think that they can ever get up again. There are some folks that experience loss, and the loss is so great that it just, in a very real sense, it's like their life ends. I've known people before that have experienced maybe the death of a child, death of a family member, a great tragedy, and it's like they don't think they can go on, or maybe they do go on, but it seems like life is just existing. It's not really like living like it ought to be. And to God's people here, in the Old Testament, they had this wonderful promise from Isaiah the prophet at the time when they were down. And the message is that God knew that they were suffering. He knew that their hearts were broken. He knew that they felt like they were prisoners of darkness. He knew that they were mourning. He knew that his people were grieving. And the message is that the Lord sees that, and he cares about it, and he's going to do something about it. And for the Lord desires to bless his people. Jesus said, he says, you parents who love your children, you desire to give your kids good gifts because you love them. Now let's compare what kind of parent you are to God. Like fathers, you think you're doing a good job at fathering? What are you compared to God at fathering? I'd be like, oh, God's kind of got it all together in that department. And mothers, how do you think you're doing in parenting? How would you compare it to how God parents us? And you'd be like, well, God's got it all together. And Jesus is saying, you think you like to give good gifts to your children? Think about how much the Heavenly Father desires to give good gifts to his children. And when his children suffer, he knows about it. It's not like he just stops by and visits once a week and checks in on you. He comes alongside you. And down throughout the ages, we've heard this testimony spoken over and over and over again of people saying, when I was at my lowest, the Lord was closer to me than ever before. And when I was suffering, he was so close, I felt like I could almost reach out and touch him. And that's what our God is like. He cares, and he knows, and he loves to bless his people. Now, in a lot of ways, the suffering of the Jewish people at this time was one that also would have made them feel like that maybe God wasn't going to keep his promise. That maybe the Lord wasn't going to remember his promise to David that it would be through his offspring that there would always be a king on the throne. And this scripture is a prophecy that the Lord sees, and the Lord's going to take care of things, and the Lord's going to make things right, and you just need to trust him. Now let's move on just a little bit. Look in the book of Psalms, Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Now there comes a time when the Lord's blessing comes. And when it comes, and you realize that your waiting is going to be blessed. Here's the response. Look at verse 1. It says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, and our tongues with songs of joy. And it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. And those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. And when we are suffering, it is so important that we cannot put our faith more in our suffering and our pain. We need to put our faith in God. And we may not understand how he's going to get us through, but we need to trust that he can get us through and that he will get us through. And we need to hold on. And because there will come a time where we get on the other side of the pain. For he cares for us. He's going to be there in that process. And but you know, there's kind of a sense in which in our own heart we have to have a willingness to trust God in those times. Sometimes with pain comes right along with it bitterness and anger. Some folks could say that the bitterness and anger are natural. But to stay with the bitterness and anger is to, in a sense, almost poison your own soul. Because we need to trust God. Because He can get us on the other side of it. He will get us on the other side of it. let's move into the New Testament. Luke chapter 1. Now, of all people, the Lord chose a humble maiden named Mary. The only thing Mary had to put on her resume was she was a humble, godly woman. There's her resume. But out of all the people in the world, the Lord chose to do something for her that He has not done for anybody else. For the power of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say after Jesus was born, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Him. No, it says the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and she became pregnant with our Savior, a uniquely blessed woman. Now, after she hears the word from the angel of what's going to happen, she believes it, she trusts, and in Luke chapter 1, verse 46, look at what Mary says. My soul glorifies the Lord. You know, when she uses the word soul, she's saying, from the depth of my being, I glorify the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arms. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. And He has brought down the rulers from their thrones. And He has lifted up the humble. And He has filled the hungry with good things. But He sent the rich away empty. He's helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He has said to our fathers. So the Lord did not forget His promise. And the Lord sent a king. But the king would be born of the Virgin Mary. And He would come to deliver His people. He would come to fulfill the old covenant. He would come to usher in the new covenant. Now, let's last part. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Then how should we live? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers, beginning with verse 16. Be joyful always and pray continually. It doesn't say just be joyful when everything is going great. We need to be joyful always, even when things are difficult. And pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So look at the three things He's got. Be joyful, pray continually, and give thanks. And that's how He wants us to live our lives. Joyful always, pray continually, give thanks. Now I want to challenge you. If you find that there are things that you have in your life that makes it impossible to do those things, then make adjustments in your life. Now, I'll tell you what, I have one that's like that for me. I tend to watch the news or listen to the news too much or read too much of the news. And I'll tell you what, if you want to have something that robs your joy, listen to an hour of the news. And it doesn't matter which side you listen to. You can listen to CNN or Fox. It doesn't matter. You'll be depressed after an hour. pull out the Orlando Sentinel. That'll depress you. Go on any of the online news things. It doesn't matter where they're leaning to. Lean to the right, you can read the Drudge Report. That'll make you depressed. Lean to the left, you can read change.org, and that will make you depressed. But God doesn't want us living like that. And by the way, for young people, I just need to tell you something. If you would do a little study, you went to a library that had all the newspapers, go back 10 years and pick any day and pick out a newspaper from one day from 10 years ago and take a look down through it. And you can see what everybody was stressing out over 10 years ago. And let's just go back 40 years, pull the newspaper out, and you can pull out any day, and you can see the list on it, what everybody was stressing out about. You go back 100 years ago, and you pull out a newspaper, and you can see what people were stressing out about. There's something new to stress about every single day. And if you take today's stresses and go, oh, if God would just take care of this, this, and this, then things are going to be okay. Well, guess what? If God can take care of all those things, but there'll be another 3 or 4 or 5 things next week. And I'm not just talking about in the news. I'm talking about in your personal lives. There's always some physical situation that will affect somebody in your family. There's always some mental health issue that will affect somebody around you. There's always some financial situation that will affect somebody in your circle. It's always like that. Now, if you want to be stressed out about all those things, then you can go on until the day you die and have a whole life of being stressed out about things. But I want to tell you, but that's not how the Lord wants you to live. He wants you to make some adjustments so that you can live joyfully, so that you can pray continuously, and you can give thanks in all situations. That's how he wants us to live. He wants us to live like children of the King, that we know that we're special and God cares for us. I was reading a book by Brennan Manning, and he was talking about visiting an uncle in Ireland. And he says one morning he got up and he went for a walk on the beach with his uncle. And all of a sudden, the uncle, wonderful, godly man, elderly man, he just stopped for a second and then took off skipping for a while up the beach. Brennan talks about being shocked to see the old man skipping. And when he finally caught up with him, he says, "Uncle, what's this about?" And as they were watching the sun come up that morning, his uncle was thinking about the Lord. And he says, "My heavenly Father is very fond of me." And he was just kind of filled up that morning with this thought that his heavenly Father was very fond of him. You ever think about that? The heavenly Father cares for you, thinks you're special, cares what's going on in your life. I'm telling you what, if you just look at all the stressors in your life, it will have such an emotional impact on you that you can't think about anything else but. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. It says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. So if there's lots of ways we can put out the Spirit's fire. I've been reading a couple of old things, and one man from the year, about 500, one of the early, he was in the 400s, St. Chrysostom. A lot of his sermons have survived down to the through the years, and I was reading one of his sermons yesterday, and it was very interesting how he started this sermon at the church he was preaching at. He talked to the people about and warned them, as he says, for so many of you, you come to church and the Lord teaches you things and the Lord shows you things. And he goes, I'll tell you what you should do. You should maybe gather together as a family right after church, and before you do anything else, think about what God has taught you and God has put on your hearts. Make a note of what you should do, and then make a plan to follow through on it. He goes, but that's not what happens. He goes, the second church gets done, often you immediately get yourself in some sort of activity, and you forget what church was all about. You forget the things that the Lord had just talked to you about as you just jump right back into the activities of your week. And he goes, it shouldn't be like that. Because when God speaks to us, we should hold on to those things. And Chrysostom says, first thing you should do is you should go home. And he goes, you should arrange your calendar so that you take one day off from all your busyness, and that one day really is a God day. So he would say, don't just carve out time for church, carve out a whole day and make it a God day. Now, I don't think in the year 400, things are all that different than it is here in 2017. You know what it's like. And for some of you, I mean, you know what it's like. Imagine why you're sitting here in church. If you'd look, if any of you are on the social media platforms, your phone's probably buzzed 5 times since you've been in church. For people who liked pictures you posted yesterday, or somebody commented on a video you shared, or they just want to tell you that somebody's planning to go to an event in your area, and they want you to be informed that, oh, you could go to this event too. You know what I'm talking about, right? And you could stop and say, hey, what did God talk to you about in church? And you'd say, what? I didn't hear what you said. What? What were you thinking about? Oh, I was thinking about the art walk in Maitland that's going to happen on Thursday night. Or on Monday night, there's a community forum that's going to take place to talk about suicides in our community. It's like, oh, yeah. And then we're going to go see Santa. Yeah, I'm sure. You know what I mean. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. I mean, there are some times when I think God is speaking, and if the phone is ringing, we got to shut the ringer off. This is God time. I can answer this later. It's God time. Thank God for TiVo. I can pause the football game. You know what I mean? It's God time. And if in the time when the Lord's speaking, we need to cherish that. One thing I think that we've gotten far away from, and there's not hardly any families that do it anymore, is anything for family devotions, where we come together as a family and we read God's word and we pray together. And we need to protect that time. We need to cherish those times when the Lord is speaking to us, and we need to hold on to what he's showing us. He says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. There may come a time when God tries to speak to you about something that might be close to heart and be difficult to address. You know, we generally like it when someone talks to us about an area where we're strong and good, but maybe if somebody wants to talk to us about an area where we're weak, I mean, that could be hard. You know, don't treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. So let me just wrap this up like this. God knows what is going on in your life, and he cares. God's got a plan for you. And sometimes you just need to hold on and trust and have faith. Because, you know, there'll come a time when you are holding on and trusting God, when he's going to get you to the end of the time of difficulty, And you'll be just like what they're talking about in Psalm 126. You'll be like, I'm so glad I waited. I'm so glad I waited. I guess this one last little illustration. I remember having all kinds of discussions with my daughter when she was in her teen years about dating, relationships, and all that stuff. And from the time she was a little girl, I mean, we were praying for the person that she would meet. But boy, when you're 15 years old, it's hard because you're thinking, Dad doesn't understand. But I know in her heart these days, she has this very real sense that she's glad that she waited for Chris. And he believes that Jenny was special for him. You know, it's kind of funny. He talked, he says, you know, I wish I knew earlier. He goes, I could have just, we could have kind of sealed the deal when she was 12. And that way, she, you know. But what was the truth? Jenny, when you were 15, you didn't know. You just had to trust God and wait. And that's the truth for a lot of things in our life. There's times when we don't know how things are going to work out. But we just need to trust God, knowing that he's watching, knowing that he cares, trusting that the time, he'll act when the time is right. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for sending Jesus. And thank you that we get to walk with you.